Good evening, everybody, and thank you for attending this latest cabinet. We go to the agenda, and the first item on the agenda is minutes of the meeting on the 18th of January, circulated and published on the 19th of January. Everyone happy that I signed the minutes?
Aye.
Okay. Any apologies?
None received, leader.
Thank you very much, thank you. Councillor, question time.
There are none.
And we're on to item four, which is the proposals of the cabinet members, and they're as follows. A is community portfolio. The first one is funding for volunteer sector organisations. Councillor Hood.
Thank you. This report is asking for permission to approve the spend of £130,250 to extend the current grant agreements for another year, and for officers to carry out a review of the way in which we will continue supporting the voluntary sector, working to deliver our corporate objectives. The current grant agreement is due to end in March, and we feel it's a good time to review the arrangements in place. We'll make sure that organisations already receiving funding can carry on with their excellent work by extending their funding for another year until the review is completed. All organisations which we have funded have worked in line with their grant agreements over the past 4 years. The Council recognises and values the huge contribution made by the community voluntary sector to our borough in many areas, and also the support they give in supporting us in delivering our corporate objectives. The Council has supported this voluntary working by giving annual grants for the past 4 years to help them provide their vital work and services, with the Council's ongoing investment helping the sector to continue. Current agreements will terminate at the end of March, and it's been recommended that good governance suggests review of these grants should be carried out in 2024-25.
Thank you, Councillor Hood. Any questions, comments for Councillor Hood? Everyone happy to accept the recommendation?
Great.
Okay, move on. Thank you. And it's permission to suspend Stafford, and it's Councillor Hood again.
Thank you. This report is asking for permission to spend £193,833 that's been allocated to Stafford Borough Council by the County Council to tackle health inequalities. Four projects will be delivered in Stafford Borough. The first project is a targeted, proactive home repair service for people living in poor health and on a low income. We'll do proactive house inspections in areas where we know there are poor housing conditions, and we'll take referrals from partners for households who they think will benefit from our support. The aim is for these improvements to improve the health of residents, as well as reducing demand for emergency hospital admissions, speeding up hospital discharge, postponing entry into residential care, or reducing the costs of care at home. The second project is working with the Right Stuff Project and selected schools in the borough to achieve trauma-informed status. We'll improve mental, physical and academic outcomes for their students. The COVID pandemic and its effects have been long-lasting, and the effects of this are still being seen today, especially for young people and in school settings. Trauma-informed practice originates from an approach developed in the fields of medicine and mental health, allowing practitioners to sensitively support people with traumatic histories. Working within the local charity VSOL, the third project will deliver a range of age-appropriate sessions to children and young people across a variety of settings, including primary and secondary schools and Stafford College, to educate and support children in reducing their use of e-cigarettes. This work would target hotspot areas and young people that are most vulnerable. The final project is to carry out a health impact assessment of Stafford Station Gateway, which has recently been awarded nearly £20 million as part of the Levelling Up Fund. A health impact assessment is a tool used to identify the health impacts of a project and to develop recommendations to maximise its positive impacts and minimise any negative impacts. This will ensure health is fully considered in the development and delivery of Stafford Gateway project. The project must be delivered by the end of September 2024.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hood. Anybody, any comments for Councillor Hood?
Thank you.
Have a happy recommendation?
Yes. Yes.
Move on, thank you. Next item is permission to spend again as hotel accommodation, Stafford. And surprisingly enough, it's Councillor Hood again.
This report is asking for permission to spend the funding allocation from the Home Office. This funding is to cover the Council's costs that have been incurred because of the operation of the hotel housing asylum seekers. Actual hotel running costs are covered in the contract between the Home Office and Serco. So this funding only relates to the costs that the Council have incurred. Costs have fallen in two main areas. One, community safety partnerships and CCTV. The team have worked closely with Serco and the police to ensure the safety of all residents in the district. Two, housing options. When asylum seekers get a positive decision on their asylum claim, they are entitled to housing advice and assistance. The housing options team have been providing this advice for those who are homeless and in priority need. There is a duty to provide temporary accommodation. Extra costings for each service area are being compiled, and the funding will be used to cover these costs.
Thank you, Councillor Hood. And that's the same question again. Any comments, Councillor Hood? Okay. Thank you very much. Is that a recommendation? Yeah. We move on. And we're on to B, which is a resources portfolio, and it's council tax changes in respect of unoccupied dwellings. Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Leader. Now, the purpose of this report is to inform members of new powers given to us regarding council tax charges on certain unoccupied dwellings. The recommendations are laid out in paragraphs 2.1 to 2.4 and involve ending from the 1st of April 2024 the current 12-month exemption given to certain types of property that are listed in the paragraph, that a 100% premium be added to council tax liability for those properties which have been unoccupied and substantially unfurnished for 12 months with effect from 1st of April 2024, and that a 100% premium be added to the council tax liability for those properties which are not occupied as any person's sole or main residence and are substantially furnished. These are often referred to as second homes. That will have taken effect as from 1st of April 2025. The reasons why, have a look at paragraph 5.11. Now, the reasons for these recommendations are set out in paragraphs 2.5 to 2.7 and include the encouragement of owners to engage with the council and speed up the occupation of existing properties. Section 3 on key issues includes the observation that there is a greater proportion of empty properties in this borough than in comparable authorities. Despite our empty homes strategy and an empty homes officer dedicated to bringing properties back into use. There's also a significant demand for housing in the borough for purchase and rent, and the very strong demand that's also faced by the housing options team for suitable accommodation. Thus, empty and poorly utilised properties are a wasted resource that could be used to house families in the borough. With regard to second homes, their use varies very considerably, and the empty homes officer routinely receives complaints from neighbours about unkempt properties that are recorded as second homes because they're furnished, but in reality are as problematic as if they were recorded as empty. There will be support by both council tax staff and the empty homes officer to help affected owners to make informed choices about the future use of their assets, whether that is to pay any additional premium or put the asset on the market for sale or rent. Now, the government has indicated that it wishes to restrict or inhibit the level of charges for some categories of dwelling. And regulations are expected on this, but not yet made, with regard to these exceptions. So we're still waiting on that, bit of limbo. We'll have to see what the government comes up with. Paragraph 5.5 in the table below this is a summary of the revenues that could be raised if the recommendations are accepted. And you'll see it comes to just over about £1 million. But before we get too excited about this, let's look at all the caveats. The figures assume that all property owners will pay the additional charges, but reasons why this is highly unlikely are outlined in the paragraph. And this could actually involve reoccupation, which would be a positive benefit if we could get that, because that would help us to increase the housing supply. And also it would help us with the new homes bonus. Don't forget also, of any revenue raised, the council would retain about 10% of that. About 10%, because it's council tax. So who do we give most of this money to if we get it? Why? The county council. But we only keep 10%. Now, paragraph 5.6 covers a significant reduction of revenue if the government were to confirm all the restrictions included in the consultation document. That's another reason why we might get much less than £1 million gross. Paragraph 575.9 deals with uninhabitable property and covers the current full reduction for up to 12 months for such property, the misunderstandings that arise, and thus the large amount of time spent by the revenues team administering this exception. Time which actually could be much better spent if that were to be removed. And the removal, don't forget, may also hasten repair work and the reuse of the dwellings. That would be positive. Paragraph 5.10 covers the current and recommended charges of properties emptied for 1 to 2 years. At present, we apply the premium charge, which is 200%, when the property is empty for 2 years. There is, however, consensual view of that bringing the premium charge forward to 1 year will lead to the earlier occupation of the properties, because people will be hit harder by it to begin with. So therefore they'll want to make a decision sooner, and that decision could mean bringing it back into use. Second homes are covered in paragraphs 5.11 to 5.13 and the table is 5.14. Now if the report is adopted, the charge would increase from 100% to 200% from 1st of April 2025. That's not our decision, that's the government's decision. They say you've got to leave it a year from the time you've made that decision. So we can't do it in 24. If we make this decision before April 24, you've got to give them a year's grace, that'll be April 2025. So it's not us, that's the government. Also covered though is a wide range of the quality of second homes, from abandoned premises, which happen to be furnished, to those which are very well maintained, in regular use, although not as a main home. But remember, any charges applied to second homes must be applied equally to that whole spectrum of so-called second homes, from the derelict to the well maintained. They will all have the 200% charge as from 1st of April 2025. Now, paragraph 513 includes the table at 514, which includes various categories of second homes and the appropriate number, or approximate number, I should say, within each category. Now, comments are included in the final column. In total, you'll notice the table contains approximately 338 properties. So these are the various categories of second homes. 338 of them in the borough. In general, of course, we would wish to encourage reoccupation wherever possible. It should also be borne in mind that the data, much of the data, is not current and circumstances may have changed, but this is the best evidence we have at present. And paragraph 5.15 deals with the inspection of a sample of 90 second homes to see whether the properties had a negative impact on the localities. The results are shown in that table. And you'll see there are some properties that have a very negative effect on the localities. Now, paragraphs 517 to 519 set out various potential exceptions to both empty home and second home premiums. It's the sort of things which is in the government's mind. But they may go further than this. We'll have to see what happens. And that will affect the amount of money, as I said, we raise. Now, the appendix, that's the other one we need to have a look. The appendix on pages 19 and 20 shows the number of dwellings in each category of unoccupied charge and an estimate of the value of the discount given. The table also shows the changes that are proposed. So that lays it all out around that appendix. Now, I should point out, whilst revenue may be generated by the charges, another and much more important reason for the charges is to increase the supply of housing available in the borough. The council's revenues and housing officers will work together to support owners of affected properties who may wish to bring their property back into use. And paragraph 23 lists some of these actions that they'll take. But the principal aim of this paper is not to raise revenue, but much, much more importantly, to increase the number of dwellings available in the borough for sale or rent in order to reduce housing pressure. So, in conclusion, properties brought into use bring both financial and non-financial benefits to the council and local residents. And I ask our cabinet to note the report.
Thank you, Councillor Cook. Thank you. Any comments?
If I may, Leader, I think it's very positive that we're acting to encourage the bringing of empty homes back into use. And I'd see that as real benefit, not only to neighbours and near neighbours, but to the wider community as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, thank you. Anybody else in the comments? What is that, the report? Recommendations? Yep. Thank you very much. And that's the end of the meeting. Thank you very much for attending, and thank you for the audience attending as well.